My affiliation now is both at UBC and the University of Connecticut. This talk is mainly the continuation of Professor Wei Min-Yi's talk on diffusion, cross-diffusion, and the steady states. My talk will focus on the steady states of the shadow system of the system Wei Min talked about last week. To be more precise, it's actually about a single equation with the Neumann boundary conditions. I apologize for talking about some older results because many experts here probably know them already. So today I will talk about some results several years ago. Tomorrow, I will talk about some new results. Well, the problem I'm going to focus is this simple-looking not Neumann problem. Well, the only nonlinearity here is u to the power of p. So that's probably one of the simplest nonlinear problem we can have. And we are concerned about these semi-linear equations with a small parameter Newton squared in front of Laplacian u in a bounded domain, say in Rn. The boundary condition is the Neumann boundary condition. And the power p here, we are considering p between, say, bigger than 1 and less than or equal to the so-called critical exponent n plus 2 over n minus 2. For all the experts here, this exponent is very common. It's very, very often seen. It's related to the Sobolev embedding. In today's talk, I will focus on the subcritical case, means that p is less than n plus 2 over n minus 2. So tomorrow I will talk about this critical case. Well, as you know from the talk of Wei Min-Yi, this equation comes from the study of biological pattern formation and also chemical reaction. In particular, say if we consider a well-known system called Gehrer-Menhardt system in pattern formation, so the system is given, say, by this equation. Well, here I put ut on the right-hand side, vt on the right-hand side. This u and v are the species, say, the species densities in certain region omega, and the d here, both little d and capital D are the diffusion rate. So little d is small, very small, compared to capital D. Capital is pretty large. And this nonlinearity here could be u to the power of p over v to the power of q. And the other one is of similar format. Again, because of the application, we want to have the no-flux boundary condition, which means the normal derivative has to be zero for both species, for both u and v. So for this system, it's a very difficult system. So the first step to see is probably is consider some limiting case. So for example, if you let capital D to be very large, goes to infinity, then at least heuristically, you can divide this equation by capital D and find out Laplacian u has to be going to zero when t goes to infinity, and capital D goes to infinity. And then somehow this reduced the v to a constant and put this constant back into the first equation, somehow you get basically a single equation, or equation, single equation coupled with a constraint. So that's how we get the equation like one at the top, which is the stationary version of this equation with V taken as constant. So this is Norman boundary condition I'm going to talk about. And this, despite of the simple looking, this problem has a very rich structure, as we mentioned briefly last in his lecture. One important feature of this problem is that there is a concentration of the species happening. So state as a theorem for this equation number one, I want to mention the very early result, rigorous result by Wimini, Takagi, and also in the first paper by two of them joint with C.S. Lim. In a series of papers, they studied the problem number this Neumann problem, and see what happens when epsilon goes to zero, when epsilon becomes very small. They prove the following results. Actually, this is very strong result from several papers, so I put it in as one theorem. So they basically prove that when P is a subcritical case, the problem one has at least one solution for epsilon very small. And this solution has only one local maximum point in the whole region, omega. And this local maximum point has to be on the boundary of the domain. So it's not close to the boundary, it's actually on the boundary. Moreover, they state that the curvature, because it's on the boundary, you can talk about the curvature of the point on the boundary. They prove that the mean curvature of this point, which has the maximum value for the solution, has to go to the point which has the largest mean curvature on the boundary. Well, so this gives you a very precise profile of the solution when you get to very small. The profile not only decide this, of course, the location of the maximum point, but in a very standard way of scanning, they can show that the solution looks like W of X minus P epsilon over epsilon. This P epsilon is the maximum point of the solution, and the W is a solution in the entire space of this problem. The same equation in the entire space with asymptotics like this. And of course, W is positive when I'm talking about a positive solution. Well, such solution actually is well studied and by many people in the 80s or in the 70s. It is known that such problem has a unique solution up to translation, and the solution is indeed radiosymmetric. So if we move the maximum point of the solution to the origin, the solution is radiosymmetric. It just depends on the radius, and it just depends on the norm of X. And the picture of the solution looks like this. Okay, and it actually goes to zero exponentially fast when X goes to infinity. So this is the basic profile of the solution obtained by Wimini, Takagi, and C.S. Lim. And the solution, the real solution, is a scaling of such a profile by scale of epsilon. So basically the width here is of order epsilon. but height is almost the same, does not change much when Upsilon changes. So if you try to individualize such a solution, we can see the concentration. We can imagine the concentration. So let me just show you a picture of the solution. You may want to forget about the statement of the theorem. Just keep this picture in your mind. Okay. So the theorem says that you have a solution which looks like this. The concentration is happening at one point, and this point is on the boundary. And this point actually approaches to the point which has the largest mean curvature of the boundary. So that's the picture of the solution. Well, they use variation method. And it, for experts here, it is very easy to see that the problem, the Neumann problem, is actually associated with this energy functional with the standard one. Here I put the one epsilon to the power of n here, just to make the scaling of energy make it look even simpler. But the major thing is here, right? And this is the from the Laplacian term and the U term. The nonlinear term gives you 1 over p plus 1. So the Euler Lagrange equation of this energy functional gives you the equation, the simple looking equation we mentioned at the very beginning. And the space is just H1. That will give you any critical point of such function will give you the Neumann boundary condition, satisfy Neumann boundary condition. Well, the solution they obtained is the so-called least energy solution, meaning that among all solutions, which is not zero, of course, such solution has the least energy. Least energy. Well, this can also be interpreted as mountain pass solutions for this functional in the standard sense. Well, I will come back to their method a little bit later as to how to get the concentration phenomenon and also the mean curvature statement about the concentration. Okay, so that's the really pioneer work in all the studies on this equation and the related problems. And they proved it rigorously and found this explains you also the tail of the decay is explains you which, you know, was not even thought about before by formal analysis by many applied mathematicians. Okay. Well, a question is often asked that do we have other solutions for the nonlinear Neumann problem? Particularly from also variational method point of view, can we find out other solutions which are not minimized, or say other type of critical point or some solution of higher energy? I look at this problem many years ago, proved that indeed there are other solutions, at least under certain conditions of the boundary of the domain. So the condition I pose for the boundary is that the boundary of the domain, say, has several local maximum points for its mean curvature. So to be more precise, so we say we have several patch of the boundary, so this is lambda 1, capital lambda 1, lambda 2, and they say we have k of them. Then the mean curvature of the boundary of this patch is strictly b bigger than, strictly bigger than the largest mean curvature on the boundary of these patches. Okay, so in this picture, so you can say that the mean curvature in this region or in this portion is bigger than the mean curvature, or the maximum of the mean curvature of this portion is bigger than mean curvature on these two points in the two-dimensional case, for example. So we say we have k such different patches. So under these conditions, and also of course the subcritical case, prove that when epsilon is very small, we have a solution which is basically the superposition of several such simple solutions, which the least energy solutions. So the exact statement is here. So basically, I prove that such solution has exactly k local maximum points. And those k local maximum points are the boundary, are on the boundary of the domain. Indeed, it's on the k patches of the boundary of the domain. Well, when epsilon goes to zero, those maximum points or the concentration points has to go to the local maximum of the mean curvature points, local maximum of the mean curvature of the patches on the boundary. So, MR. And the solution is overall it looks like the summation of the basic profile scaled by all the epsilon and shifted to the maximum points. So just put several such points together. If I want to show you a picture. So near each concentration point, it looks like the same or very similar to the standard profile, and they decay exponentially away from the maximum point. So the interaction of these peaks are very weak, exponentially weak. Well, then this type of result were generalized to more general critic points set by Yan Lei, Junqing Wei, and Winter, and also by Peter Bates, Dancer, and Junping Xi, to more general say, critic points, which may not be a local maximum point of the mean curvature. With some type of non-degenerate conditions. Could be very weak non-degenerate conditions. Well, next time I will also talk about some result on this critical case in similar manner. So I'm not going to go to detail of the critical case. Well, as many experts here know that. It's usually very hard to obtain other critical points of a variational problem, particularly higher energy solution for a variational problem. What I did in my work is to use the method developed by Eric Serret and Cody Zaletti and Rabinovich on the study of a Hamiltonian system and also for PDE with periodic boundary conditions. It's very technical and basically consider the gradient flow of the functional in very detail and study how the gradient flow goes. And it of course have to use a very accurate energy estimate. Well, we come back to the Well, I'll come back to the energy method a bit later. So that's how we have the the higher energy solution for the problem which has peaks concentrated on the boundary. And now we have, because the energy, we have several peaks, could be many peaks. And those peaks, as I said, are separate from each other, concentrated to the local maximum of the mean curvature point. Okay. Well, how about other solutions? Do we have other solutions? Well, we actually go further to study other more complicated solutions. So I call them multiple peak solutions with peaks tending to the same points on the boundary. Okay, this is the solution which has peaks in different points of the boundary in the original domain, in the original scale. Well, we actually, with Jun Chen and Mathieu, we studied the solutions which has the concentration points tending to the same point on the boundary. This is the statement, but I just want to point out that the result is very similar to what we have seen for the single equation, the multiple peak solution situation. We have the profile of the solution exactly the same, which is the superposition of the basic profile with the proper location and on the boundary. And this concentration point on the boundary. Moreover, those concentration points go to the same point for all different eyes, but that's in the original scale. But if you make a scanning, after scanning, those points actually tends to, the distance actually tends to infinity. So they are somehow close, but after scanning, they actually separate. And that's the solution we obtained. Well, this kind of condition, of course, also shows that the interaction of those basic profile, basic solution, are not small, but not very strong either. So that's another type of solution we obtained. Well, in another front, we also consider the solution which has concentration in the interior of the domain. So far, we just talked about the solution which concentrated on the boundary. But it's from the experiments, people actually observed the concentration of the pattern formation in not only the boundary, but also the domain, and in the interior of the domain. So it's natural to try to find out such solutions or such patterns rigorously, mathematically. So Jun Chen and I worked on this problem, and we eventually found a very surprising result. Well, so here is the result. We proved that no matter what the domain is, as long as it's bounded and smooth, and given any positive integer, so capital N, we can find epsilon small enough that also we find the solutions, U epsilon, which has exactly the given number of peaks, say K peaks. And those peaks are in the interior of the domain instead of the boundary. And the solution looks like, again, like the superposition of the basic profile, but with the peaks in the interior of the boundary. Well, indeed, we actually find the limit of those interior peaks to be given by the maximum point of such functions. So what's this function? This function phi. So this function phi is could be think as a generalized distance function of k points. So if I have k points, P1, Pk, and we define this function to be the minimum of the distance of each peaks, each two points, as well as the half of distance, sorry, the other way around, the distance, half of the distance of every pair of every pair of points, as well as the distance of the points to the boundary. Okay, so if k equals 1, that basically is the distance function of the point to the boundary. And if you have, say, k equals 2, you also consider the distance between each of these two points. So the location of those peaks of the solution we obtained is the maximum point of such k points in terms of this function. Well, there is a very easy geometric interpretation of such a maximum point of such function. That's the sphere packing problem. So if we consider domain, so this is the omega we have, then you say try to put k balls with the equal radius and the largest possible radius into this domain. I mean, this is a sphere packing situation. We can always do that, right? And say in this example, say this is the packing of, 10 balls. Then, for any k, the k peaked solution actually has concentration points near those centers of these packed balls. So when k goes to when u goes to zero, the limit of those concentration points will be exactly the center of these k packed balls. Of course, here we just state the existence. There could be the sphere packing problem may not have a unique solution. We just said we have one such solutions of one of the sphere packing locations. I would also like to say that similar phenomena was also discovered by Peter Bates and Fusker for the Kahn-Hiller equations. Of course, we can also generalize more complicated interior peak solutions, not just in the setting of sphere packing, but I think this is the easiest way to understand the multiple interior peak solutions. Okay, so now I try to give you some idea of how those theorems are proven. So let's first start with the solution of least energy solution. Well, as I said, the solution of the Neumann problem is can be studied for as the critical point of the functional energy functional. Well, the least energy solution obtained by Wimini, Takagi, and C.S. Lane has an energy like this. This can be either obtained by from the mountain pass formula as well as a very accurate linearization analysis. But anyway, eventually you have this energy formula for the least energy solution. The first term comes from the standard profile, right? The solution in the entire space, so that's IW. The second term relates the problem to the boundary mean curvature. So this gamma y is a positive constant, hp upsilon is the mean curvature of the points where the maximum of u upsilon is attained, and times u upsilon, then plus a higher order term. Well, so once you get such formula, at least heuristically, you can see that if you want to make this to be minimizing, then those term is fixed, this term is fixed, so the only way to make this smallest is to make HP the biggest, right? So that's why they prove that the maximum point makes it goes to the maximum of the mean curvature of the boundary. Of course, the proof is very, very involved, a lot of hard analysis. I just won't skip it. So this is the energy estimate. Well, for the higher energy solution situation, we have a similar estimate. So let me put it here. So in appearance, it's very similar to the one we have here. Okay, actually, this maybe one half here, depends how we see it. So one half here. But of course, in the proof, the method is very a lot more involved to get this energy estimate. So once we get this type of energy estimate, we can also see that the concentration, first we have to show the existence by using this gradient flow method, then use this energy estimate to show the maximum of the mean curvature has to be on the local maximum in each patches. Well, I want to say more about the method in the proof of the intrinsic solutions. Well, the intrinsic solutions, if we do formal analysis, we can see the difficulty, very different difficulty immediately. For example, forget about anything else, other things. So if we want to consider the solution which has k peaks in the interior, and we try to estimate at least roughly their energy. So we have such formulas. So k times the standard profile. So if you want to see the k interior peak solution, so this is the standard. But next term will be much smaller compared to the terms here. Here it's in the term of upsilon, linear in upsilon. But here you have the term exponentially small. So upsilon is in the downstairs of the exponent, which have a negative sign in front of it. So when upsilon goes to zero, if dpi is positive, this is exponentially small. Exponentially small. So at least this shows that technically it's very much has very much different difficulties. So indeed, we use the so-called Neapolitan reduction method together with energy method to study the problem. Well, before I talk about the details of this method, Maybe I want to say something about Professor Wei Min Yi because he's not here now. many people ask me. Okay, well, that's fine. many people ask me how do Professor Wei Min Yi teach his student? My experience is that in the last year when I was his student, he asked me to almost one term of seminar lecturing. Basically, just by one person. What I did at that time is about the Lyapunov-Smith reduction for Schrodinger problem, Schrodinger equation. So he want us, or he want me to do the lecture or do the in a seminar, sometimes for 2 or 3 hours, without looking at my lecture notes. Okay, so but that's very tough at the beginning, but I found it's very beneficial. That also influenced my research after my graduation as well. Okay. So anyway, I'm not sure if my other academic brothers and sisters have similar experience or not. Okay. Anyway, what we used in the method is try to use Lyapunov-Smith reduction to get with energy estimate. Of course, here the method is much more advanced or dedicated. So one way to do is when we try to use Lyapunov-Smith method, we try to find out some kind of approximate solution or trial solution. A natural candidate is just the superposition of the basic profiles. But technically, it's not so good to use such a trial function because, as you have seen, we are going to estimate exponentially small terms. So one way to do it is to somehow modify the basic profile a little bit to make them to satisfy the Neumann boundary condition. So W itself does not satisfy the Neumann boundary condition, but we solve this equation for every W given position of P. This is different P, so this is still the original power exponent, but this is the location of the standard peaks. So we solve this solution, so solve this equation, so we get a solution which looks very similar to W, but satisfies the Neumann boundary condition. So that's the plus of such a new function, and we call such new function PW, which of course is related to the location of PI and the scaling of the domain. So this omega is already scaled solution. So using such a approximate solution, we can estimate rigorously the energy to be of this form. And of course, we want P have some conditions. They are not too close to each other. They are not too close to the boundary. So that's the concept, makes us a very mild constraint. Then use the standard Lyapunov-Smith reduction procedure. We try to solve the equation one, this Neumann problem, not completely, but after some kind of projection. So we try to make the try to find a solution which is of this form, such that the critical point of the energy at this point, so the derivative of the energy at this point belongs to the kernel of the linearized equation. Well, the difficulty of using Neoprosian reduction is that we try to use the trial function to approximate the real solution, but the linearization of the trial solution is usually degenerate. So it has some small kernels. Usually it's, well, in this case, it's finite dimensional kernels. The dimension is indeed k, which is number of peaks, times the dimension, because, for one peak solution, in the entire space, you always has the translation in all the n dimensions. So each translation gives you one kernel, one element, or one dimension in the kernel of the linearized equation. So eventually we have a kernel which is approximately, which is k times n dimensions. So we try to solve this in the projection to the problem of the kernel is zero. So try to solve the reduced problem. Sorry, try to solve the inversion problem in the approximate reduction. So this can be done because we understand well the kernel of the neuron's equation, and then find such solutions which makes the derivative of the energy to be in the kernel. But the most important thing is to find out the solution for the reduced problem. So we have now for every PI, every k points PI, we have a solution in the reduced problem. To a reduced problem. So eventually, we try to find out of P, this k points, which makes the reduced problem to be really a solution to the original problem. So what we do is we use our energy method. So we estimate the energy of the solution for every P, every k points P. Then this becomes a problem of finite dimensional. So for every P, we want to find a critical point of this function. This function is given by this energy. And again, we can estimate the energy of such solution, which is then very similar to the energy of the first approximation, which is given by this formula. Then we found that such problem has a maximum point. So, and this maximum point is not attained at the boundary of this set of 4P. This set of 4P. Well, roughly speaking, is that if the points here, the maximum point goes to the boundary of such set, that means either the distance of this point is very close, so equals delta zero, or the point is gets very close to the boundary. So to the boundary is delta zero, which is very small. Then you will make this term, including the psi, to be smaller. So if you try to maximize this function, such maximum point cannot be saturated with the constraint. So that's how we prove the existence of a critical point of this reduced problem. Then going back to the original problem, we have a solution. And this energy estimate eventually also gives all these asymptotics and the concentration results. Okay. Maybe before I finish, I just mentioned very quickly that the Neumann problem, in this case, is very different from Dirichlet problem. Well, one might think that if you have an interior peak solution, the solution almost vanish on the boundary because it's exponentially small on the boundary. So it's almost like a solution for the Dirichlet problem. But indeed, these two situations are very different. As I said, for Neumann problem, you can find as many solutions, can find a solution with as many peaks as possible as long as you choose epsilon is very small. But this is not the case for the Dirichlet problem. For example, if you consider the domain to be a ball, with Dirichlet boundary condition, the famous Gitas-Nierenberg moving plane method can indicates that the solution has to be radiosymmetric. That means there should be only one peak for any solutions of the Dirichlet problem. Okay, so at most one peak for the Dirichlet problem when the domain is ball. But on the other hand, for Neumann problem, we can have a solution with as many peaks as we want. So there's a big difference between the Dirichlet problem and Neumann problem, which probably is very difficult to see without this dedicated energy analysis. I stop here. Just mention next time I will talk about critical case, which also has a very some aspects very similar to the critical case, some critical case, but in some other aspect, important aspect, it's very different. Okay, stop here.